Get your tickets to The Flatlanders on Friday, November 19th at the Crichton Theater at crichtontheater.org. Presented in part by KPFT Houston.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 6 o'clock a.m., and here's what's going on in traffic and weather this morning. There's a two-vehicle accident on 59 northbound at I-10, and we, at this time, don't know how many lanes are affected. The current temperature is 69 degrees. Skies are mostly cloudy. Humidity is 91%. Today will be partly cloudy with a high of 79 and a low of 61 degrees. Winds are out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunrise will be at 6:43 a.m. and sunset at 5:28 p.m. Air quality forecast is in the good range. And now, please stay tuned for Living Art with Michael Woodson.
This is God. Part 1.
My God, it's full of stars.
Western philosophers down through time have tried to make sense of my creation. Why did I make the morning sun to rise in the east and to make so predictable its slow, steady orbit toward the west, where it sets day in and day out? Why, by that same geometric clockwork, did I throw in a leap year? Why? Puzzle me this and puzzle me that. Why does food taste better with fat? Why I made it so that a teeny tiny itty bitty virus can kill you, and at the same time made it so that you have to contract one virus, otherwise the other one will kill you. Why I gave you a strong instinct for life and then made you cling to it, all vanity. I make you to die, and to top that I make sure, one by one, you damn well know it. Why, what isn't strange, I make funny. Why? Holy Moses, man, told you once, I am who am. That means I am what you think you thought, as you recall that you think you thought it. I am reached just beyond grasp. A tautology. The word, word. I am the notion of greatest that dwarfs the idea of anything greater, a sum beyond imagine, a myth in a story chasing its tail. The way, when you get to the fork in the road, you take it, the truth that always never fails to fail, and the light that makes all seeing possible except for seeing light. Modern philosophers return to sleep. You think, therefore, you are one up on me. You're closer, it's true. But your history was born of my mystery. It's still a mystery now, and only mystery it returns. Riddle me this. There's a rock in your head that you see on the ground. What's the difference? Answer, you will never crack the rock in your head. Think and think, and there you are, eyes without a star. I live in doubt, that's for certain. You think you are certain you live in doubt. Pinch yourself all you want. You still can't disprove a dream in the shadows of doubt. And you can never prove that doubt's not a dream. Naval gazers gaze away, but contemplate how you're worth $2 a day. Wake up. Wake up and smell the latte. You have nothing from soup to nuts. You steal into my orchard, but I forbid you the apple tree, down to its very last sparrow. What good is it to know you're caught when you can't even find the trap? My love, my pet, let me comfort you. As long as you live, just imagine you can cry on my shoulder here, my darling. As long as you breathe, you can give up trying. As long as you doubt without doubt, I can ease your pain. Hear me. In the fog of your confusion, I'm comforting you. Hear my comfort. I am here to say it will feel better when it quits hurting. And you know that's true. We're not in pledge drive anymore. That's right. Hey, welcome to Living Art. This is Michael Woodson on 90.1 FM, KPFT, the Mighty 90 in Houston, Texas. Thanks for tuning in. It's Friday, and it is November the 12th. Today on Living Art, we're going to talk to two musicians who are in from Europe. A very classy show today. And Koo and Robert Beckers. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get to them, we're going to do a quick calendar and talk about some of the events first. Helen Caldicott is in town, and there is a fundraiser for the Houston Peace and Justice Center. So if you haven't gotten your tickets for that, it might be a little late to catch dinner, but it's really special to have Helen Caldicott in town and also to honor some of the other activists. So just check out the HPJC calendar. Other art events that you might want to check out. I thank Nas for sending me this. She's doing some helpful work here. The Artist's Dozen is happening tomorrow night, and that's at the War House Visual Studios, 4 to 7:15 Main Street. Artist Dream is his title, and it's W-A-R apostrophe H-O-U-S. Anyway, 4715 Main Street. And at the Super Happy Fun Land, you can catch the Dead Audio Music Festival. What else? The Brain is Art opening reception, and that sounds good. The Caroline Collective is doing that. The Brain as Art opening reception is tonight. The address is 4820 Caroline Street. And I notice our friends over at the Artery, Mark Larson, is having an event this weekend that is allowing the good weather. And I've seen reports that it's going to be nice this weekend, and I've seen reports that it's going to be cold and rainy through the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm not sure exactly what the weather's going to be this weekend, but I hope it's cold and nasty, because I'm kind of up for a cold and nasty weekend. Lots of rain and cold air. But it's Friday. Maybe the sun will shine on you all day long. I sure hope so. And we're going to sort of ease out of the calendar section by thanking you for calling and pledging. I can't tell you how happy I am. The last episode on Living Art left us with not knowing how much we raised because, well, the phones were on rollover or something. I don't know, but we doubled our goal again, so that was twice in a row. So I really want to thank you very, very much for your support of Living Art. It's a real honor to do this, labor of love. And, well, I'll tell you what it means when you double your goal at KPFT is the next time you have a fund drive, they just increase your goal amount by the amount that you averaged the time before. So that just means, you know, we've got more to offer KPFT. So we get to now double our efforts. And, well, as my dad used to say in the phrase of the old world, that's the way The old ball bounces. So thank you very much for supporting Living Art and KPFT. We'll be right back to talk about music and the art scene in Europe. Stay with us. Living Art, Michael Woodson, KPFT, Houston, Texas.
You know, I could have done nothing without you.
I think we raised $330,000, something like that, which is, I believe, a really, really nice sum of money and close to our goal. So thank you very much again, and we couldn't do nothing without you, really. Thank you, listeners. And so, good morning. Speaking of being able to do nothing without you, we need guests, and we have guests. We have some really great guests, Ann Koo and Robert Beckers. Good morning.
Morning again.
And welcome to Houston. What do you think of Houston? Is it your first time?
It's my second time, and I'm having a great time here. Great time.
Yeah.
When did you, Ann, did you, is this your first?
No, I used to work in Houston a long time ago.
No, my, wow, so you were a local.
Well, not really. I was, here for just over a year, and I came back often.
So what restaurants are a must-go-to for you?
Restaurants? Yeah. Well.
Kinds of food?
Well, Whole Food Market was not here when I lived here. Let's see. Several restaurants disappeared, I think. But I did see Ruggles. Oop, sorry.
Yeah, Ruggles is right there on Westheimer and Montrose.
Yeah, that's right. And La Comme d'Or, and I guess a bunch of sushi places. Sushi places.
Huh. Yeah, there's a place where we had sushi the other day. Right around the corner where we're staying.
Yeah. Tomo.
Tomo, yeah.
Tomo.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
And then there's the Ginger Man that I still have to check out. Like, I think over 50 cask beers.
Yes.
You're into brewing.
I brew at home, and I love to check out local beers.
Yes, the Ginger Man is a great atmosphere. In,
I think so.
Yeah, the beers.
Set for tomorrow evening.
So. the beer's cold, and the choices are wide.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I'm getting thirsty here, so we better change the subject and ask you. tell us a little bit about yourselves. Just where do you live and what you do?
Well, Robert and I, we live in Utrecht, Netherlands. That's the fourth largest city in the Netherlands after Amsterdam, The Hague, Rotterdam. And population 300,000, mainly a college town, I'd say, because we have the largest university there. And also the most central location for all public transport. Yeah, Utrecht, Netherlands.
So it's accessible and yet kind of quaint.
Yeah, well, actually, it's also got a reputation for the arts. It's a creative city, mainly the Art Academy and also the oldest conservatory is there. Let's see, what else? Yeah, a lot of young people.
Are you musicians?
Yeah,
full-time?
Both of us are full-time musicians.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the first time on Living Art we ever had an artist in that didn't work by day and put their cape on and do art by night. So
that's, well, I do have a teaching job in Holland.
That's
guitar, though. Classical
guitar. People are going to follow you back to Europe if they can find a place they can do art without being split.
Yeah. Well, I do teach at a university part-time, not in the arts. So I don't know. So I like to say I'm a full-time musician, but part-time.
It's a very small part of time now.
Yeah.
Only occasionally I teach it there.
All right. We're going to take a break, but let me just announce some of the things that you're going to be doing this weekend. That's why you're in town, and I know the audience will want to come and check things out.
All welcome.
Today at 1 o'clock at MD Anderson, they're performing And then tonight there's a solo. It's actually the topic of the show, a house concert in the Montrose, and we'll get you that information when we come back from traffic and weather. And then on Sunday there's a house concert, and then off they go to Denver. So you got a busy weekend, and we'll get some addresses and some contact information about that when we come back from traffic and weather. Laura.
This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 6:15, and here's a quick look at traffic and weather. There was an accident on 59 southbound at Parker Road that has just been cleared a few minutes ago, but the traffic is still slow on 59 southbound from Aldine Mail Route to Tidwell. And there is an accident involving two vehicles on 59 northbound at I-10, and traffic is flowing freely otherwise. Current temperature is 69 degrees. Skies are mostly cloudy. Humidity is 91%. Today will be partly cloudy with a high of 79 and a low of 61 degrees. Winds are out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour, and the air quality forecast is in the good range. And now back to Living Art with Michael Woodson.
Thanks, Laura. Now, the performance this afternoon at 1 o'clock is at the Alkek Lobby building, and it's in the Alkek Lobby. It's in the main building, first floor. And then Sunday, the 14th, there's still an opening to that event, and the event is happening at 2017 West Main. And what's the contact information?
Yes, actually, there's no RSVP required. It's in the home of our friend Jeff Abrams. It's all on our website, which is pianoguitar.com. So piano guitar, one word. So .com/USA. It's got the listing of everywhere where we're performing. Yeah. And the concert on Sunday is a potluck and BYOB at 5 o'clock and a contribution to the music.
That's the topic today, this cocooning, I guess, of art and music and classical music. And we'll get to that, but let me just have you talk about the kind of art you play, because we haven't even got to that. You're classical musicians of sort, and do you compose, do you play, what do you play, what you've been doing, that kind of thing. Just let it rip.
Well, the composing part is not so big, but I do arrange pieces for us. Like in the early 19th century, when piano and guitar was quite common, people would actually use the instruments very often to play famous pieces, famous arias of operas. So I took the same tradition, and we arranged like Queen of Sheba for piano and guitar, The Winter by Vivaldi from the Four Seasons, also the Summer we did. And we play piano transcriptions of guitar concerts and those things.
And guitar concertos, you mean, like the Aranjuez
yes.
Concerto of Rodrigo. Robert even arranged a movement of Chopin's piano concerto,
oh, yeah.
So I could be the soloist and the guitar is the orchestra.
And you play
I play
piano.
The piano. Yeah. Yeah, Robert plays the guitar.
What does it mean to arrange, and just know that I'm like in third grade when it comes to the definition of this, it's probably very obvious, but what is it when you arrange as opposed to just performing?
Well, in the case of, for example, The Winter by Antonio Vivaldi, it is a violin concert, so in principle I just took the violin part, the first violin for the guitar, and tried to make as interesting possible a piano part to that, using what Vivaldi wrote down.
So you actually sort of figure out how an instrument might play into it that is not set somehow in
exactly,
the
yeah.
score.
You have to sometimes make, well, in case of the guitar, it's an instrument that sounds an octave lower than it's written. And definitely compared to a violin, you can already see the size of it. It sounds much lower. So sometimes you have to make artistic choices that are like uncommon.
Yeah. But something like The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba by Handel, for example, I had several versions for four hands piano, And Robert, basically, did you just take that and separated the voices and you decided which bits the guitar was going to play?
Yeah, I took the first piano for the guitar again and the second piano. I left it as it was, and sometimes I would reverse that because I try to see us as a duo, not as like the guitarist with piano accompaniment. Which I'm in principle, I would consider myself the front man. Visually, because I'm sitting there, people can clearly see me up front, and then the piano is slightly behind me. So it doesn't look so much as a duo, but I want to have it a duo. Equal parts.
So you're not just thinking of music, you're thinking of the audience perception of it, the visual.
Yes.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah. What have you done? Where have you performed?
Well, we play all over the Netherlands. Like regularly. We had last year, how many? 55 concerts.
Mm.
And that's exclusive the concerts that I do, like with other people, with voice and guitar or flute and guitar. And then we like to travel. So, yeah. And it's been very busy organizing this trip.
Yep, this trip to America, starting in Boston.
Where does it take you?
Well, we started, let's see, middle of October. We started in Boston. And so the whole New England area, we're there for 2 weeks, including Connecticut and Massachusetts. And just last week we played at Duke University, and we had four concerts in Phoenix in 2 days before we came here.
In 2 days?
For one concert on the first day and three concerts on the second day. And then we came here for a private concert on Saturday.
I love that stuff. When I started my career, that's like ages ago, I was in a group, and we would do, like, around Christmas, we would do a concert a day and sometimes two concerts per day. And in those days, I was afraid, like, can I do that? And I did, and now we do four.
We seem to be on a marathon. I mean, today we're performing, well, almost perform, we're on air, well, four times.
Four times again, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you will perform on air, so that's something our audience will definitely want to hear. You're listening to Living Art on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I'm Michael Woodson, and we're talking to guitarist and Mr. Beckers, Robert Beckert, and Ann Koo, who's on the piano, but today we didn't bring the grand piano in the studio.
I don't think it would fit.
So what kind of training does it take to do this arranging? How long would you say you'd have to work to just get that basic skill?
I think you have to understand the harmonics, and I have a good sense of how melodies function, so where a melody starts, where a melody ends, so that you will not mix up voicings. And in my teaching of young guitarists, it's very important for them to understand this, because many people will just follow fingerings. This is the classical style. You learn to read notes, and you know on which finger you use, on which string. And they forget that they're actually playing music. So I make them sing a lot. Basically, that's the whole understanding. You have to find a melody. If you can sing it, it's a melody.
What makes it a melody? What's the definition of that?
That is a good question, and I would not be able to answer that.
Is it repetition or something, or the?
No, it's there's an order to it. But honestly, I think you're asking the wrong person.
I think it's a line that stands out, isn't it?
That's a good short. Yeah, it definitely stands out.
Yeah. Before I went to conservatory, I used to arrange music so that I could play on the piano. For example, I arranged a piece for two children of my friends, the Titanic, at their level, you know, for the flute and piano in the keys that they could play. But then at conservatory, I learned different rules and methods, what you shouldn't do. For example, for choir, certain doublings that are okay, but and some that are not.
So the rules are actually pointers kind of skill advice. And
yeah.
We always think of rules as, like, in classical music especially, is like, well, it's not done that way or something, but in fact... most rules are sort of there to give you a way when, you know, you're dealing with something like sound.
Yes, that's right. And I think for piano and guitar, what we try to do, I mean, you could clarify this better, Robert, is, you know, to make sure you're on one register, I'm on another.
Oh, there's different ways of making piano and guitar sound well. It's in general, they have an aspect of competition in them, because they both have an attacking note and then a decaying note. So the sound development is the same. And the register is big from the piano, and right in the middle is there's the guitar, in the big mid-range of the whole sound, which is the most used area. So there's a few ways of avoiding collisions. That is, for example, I would play a lot of notes, while Anne plays slow chords, or complete unison, octaves would be working fine. Or what Anne just mentioned is speed up the register. A very fine example would be a piece by Tedesco, which we cannot show you today. But he makes the piano play at a very low register and at a very high register, while the guitar is right in the middle there. And very often when we ask composers to write for us, they forget the octave quality of the guitar, and it collides with the piano very often. So we tell them this beforehand.
Well, we'll take a listen to some of your music. Some of it may be arranged.
Yes.
Yeah. All of it is arranged by you?
No, there's some original pieces too. Mm-hmm. There's some original pieces.
And so we'll do that. Take a listen to their music, and then come back, and we'll listen to Robert perform the guitar live. So stay with us, Living Art, KPFT Houston. That was a little music composed by Robert Becker. And
it's arranged. And it was The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba by George Friedrich Handel.
And Anne is on the piano.
Yeah, I'm always on the piano.
So they're in town. You can see Anne Kuhn or Robert Becker's this weekend, 1 o'clock at MD Anderson, the Al Keck lobby. It's the main building at MD Anderson, first floor. And then Sunday at Jeff Abrams' house at 2017 West Main. And that always makes me nervous to give away somebody's home address. And we're going to talk about cocooning, and it seems to me to be very courageous to do what you're doing in a way to opening your house to 4 million people, the population of Houston. So you wanted to say a little bit about that, and then we've got to take a traffic break. So, Robert, what did you want to say about the piece that was on air?
That piece was a live recording from our Duke concert. We played at Duke University, and we recorded just stereo mic. So what you hear is actually the balance of the piano and the guitar. Because there's a lot of cynicism when I speak to people and they say that I play piano and guitar music, and they think, like, it's not going to work. Because in the early 19th century, when there was a lot of piano guitar, they were dealing with a piano forte, which was a wooden instrument without a metal frame and much more mellow in sound. So with the new guitar that I have now, I think it's possible to play piano and guitar. It's a Dutch built instrument by Jeroen Hilhorst. He's based in Amsterdam, and he builds very powerful concert guitars. And I'm really fond of it, actually.
So yeah. No amplification required.
Totally not, no.
Yeah. Well, we're fond of it, and it's been amplified a little bit here this morning, I hope. And we're going to take traffic and weather and be back for Robert Becker's live performance and Koo. So stay with us.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 6:30. Here's a quick update on traffic and weather. There were a couple of accidents. They have been cleared from, there was a three-vehicle accident on 59 southbound at Parker. It's just been cleared. And also on 59 northbound at I-10. That one has been cleared also. So there is still some slow traffic over on 45 headed southbound. That is inbound from Aldine Bender to North Shepherd. And the average speed there is about 40 miles per hour at this time. And the current temperature is 69 degrees. Skies are mostly cloudy with 91% humidity. And today will be partly cloudy with a high of 79 and a low of 61. The air quality forecast is in the good range. And now back to Living Art.
Thank you, Laura. This is Michael Woods, and we're talking to Ann Koo and Robert Beckers. And they're in town to perform, and they're on Living Art this morning performing. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm going to talk about the Titanic. I'm champing at the bit because you mentioned the Titanic and that movie, and not the show, the movie. So anyway, but I've also been like just really, really anxious to hear Robert perform live. This is great. What do you say, Robert?
Yeah, let's give it a go. I thought I'd keep it short.
It is short. Oh, gosh. Well,
I can do something else a bit later on, yeah. Not longer. That's okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's shockingly short, and I guess that adds to the surprise, adds to the pleasure. You are funny. They told me you were funny.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. But, well, the Titanic, you know, we were talking before the show over your warm water or hot water and my coffee that there's a separation between sort of this image of music where, you know, good Irish folk dancing is happening on the deck of the Titanic and then the snobby upper crust kind of people who are actually miserable in the ballroom, you know, and you know, sort of prejudices true love as, you know, a street experience that includes whiskey or something, which is all right too. But talk about the separation a little bit between classical music and folk music and how what you're doing sort of helps to bridge that.
Well, I play classical music, but I have also played all sorts of other music, accompany choirs, and I love karaoke, live karaoke. So I don't think there should be any difference. I think classical music is for everyone, just as pop rock music also for everyone. But I think perhaps classical music requires more experience in getting used to, in listening. I do find, for example, in the Netherlands, the general public with general audience. We say public in Dutch, publiek. The audience, even without musical education, they've had a lot of experience listening. So they're very knowledgeable, and they understand and appreciate. So perhaps that's why there are so many opportunities to perform, but we're also competing with amateurs. That's people who perform without expecting an income. And they love to perform as well. So it's quite a musical environment.
Well, the cocooning, it was your term. I actually am on the board of a group called Voices Breaking Boundaries. And we do something called living room art. And in the last year, we started this program, and it's one of the main thrusts of the organization now, the venue thrusts, where we do sort of sometimes a art show or whatever, but things are happening in people's living rooms. So somebody would give us a living room, and then we'd sort of arrange for you know, a painter or visual artist to do an exhibition there, and people would come and someone would do spoken word. This is sort of what you mean by cocooning. I assume that you're actually performing instead of a hall or a venue that was designed for the public, the audience, that you just open the doors. Is that correct? To a home.
That's right. Private homes. Well, cocooning actually came from my friend Morena in the Netherlands. She introduced me the term, and I think it refers to also intimacy, intimate groups. And also what happens is when you open your private home, there is that intimacy already. Yeah, it's private. And then when you come to a concert, you're not treated as a ticket holder like you are at, a public concert hall. You're treated as a guest. Yeah, you're welcome to their home. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And now, in the Netherlands, of course, the homes are most likely much smaller than the homes here in Houston. We've played in one-bedroom apartments. It's amazing what you could do to transform a one-bedroom apartment into a space for music. And also art, too.
This seems like an issue that might raise things such as... It's a very courageous or challenging experience, because what if the 4 million people who could be listening to living art, you know, might take you up on your offer? In other words, you know, where are the porta-potties? You know, don't you need a security guard? And you know, you've got a couch that seats three. You see?
Well,
it's great.
This evening's concert, for example, our friend Grace, who is hosting us, she's never done this before, and she sent out an invitation to, I don't know, 3 dozen people, and there are now about 2 dozen people coming tonight, and that's it. And I said to her, look, you could probably fit 100 people. People could sit on the stairs, they could sit on the floor. Yeah, but she's been spending the whole week preparing for this event, cooking a feast. I think it's to the tune of the movie The Big Night, you know, where they had all this food. And so in this case, this is invitation only. But with Jeff Abrams' case on Sunday, he's been doing this for, 14, 15 years. So I asked him yesterday when I was practicing on his Chickering grand piano, what would happen if everybody came because there are no reservations required? And he was very laid back about it. He said, well, you know, we'll just tell people, you know, there are 2 sets. So if you've had a good seat in the first set, you know, please get up and go to the back or go outside the house and let the other people come in to sit in the living room.
That's a nice impromptu aspect about these house concerts.
Let's just hope that those are the two variables, that either, you know, there's enough where they can keep their seats, or they can just switch seats, because there very well could be more. That's very risky. I'd be nervous if I held this event, and you know, they were talking about it. So Jeff, good luck. And you're very brave, and it's a great movement in art, and it's something that's new. We want to talk about the technology that is sort of counterposed to it. It's not contradictory, but it's certainly something about social networking and intimacy that goes hand in hand. But let me just give you the website if you want to find out more about the concert at Jeff Abrams' house. I'm going to be very... And the address is, everybody show up for food and drink. I'm just having a good time with this, aren't I? The address is 2017 West Main, but you can check out www.pianoguitar.com/USA. And so talk about how you social network, what you do, and can you, does it jive with the whole intimacy thing?
Oh, yes. 3 years ago, we came through Houston and gave 2 house concerts. And then before we went to Maui, back then, I think we just used our emails and our website to tell people about us. Now, in the last 2 years, we have moved on to blogging, Twittering, LinkedIn, Facebook, what else? YouTube. And this morning, I used my phone and texted to various friends and fans in Houston to let them know about our being on air today. So that's
intimate. You know, you are here, and you're talking to your friends, and you know, they may be getting up and, you know, brushing their teeth, and they turn on the radio, and there Anne is, and there Robert is. That's crazy. So, do you find that it? I mean, it's I've got a new technology here, but kind of an old world idea that now everybody will know, and I'll be, you know, rich and famous, and I'm going to be a celebrity, a pop star, or whatever. There's a lot of that energy behind the technology, but it's much more useful than that, I guess. Or
I don't regard it like such. It's it helps build a crowd, and it helps raise awareness, but it's not like going to be enough to be a big star, as you just said. It's not that's not the incentive here.
Well, definitely about intimacy. I was chatting with someone in Virginia on Facebook last night while I was posting information on different people's walls and answering emails, various multitasking to let people know that, you know, what we're going to, this weekend we're going to be busy and what we're going to do the next few weeks. So,
amazing. Now, you had a story, you may have just referenced it, but did you want to detail the story about your first experience of cocooning in Houston?
That's right. This was the late composer and pianist Robert Avalon, whom I met through introduction from Linda Marquin.
And we thank Linda for introducing us to you.
She's very good at introducing and putting people together. And Robert Avalon invited me to a house concert in River Oaks in the home of Ann Chadwick. He invited me also to play, not just to attend, but also play. It was improvisation. So I invited my contacts and colleagues. This was 9 years ago, February 9 years ago. And I remember my contacts and colleagues thinking, wow, isn't anyone going to ask us to pay? I mean, how could this be free? Because the music was so incredible. It was music that no one had ever heard of because it was all improvised. It was spur of the moment. Yeah, there was violin, piano, and when it came for me to play, I just improvised on white keys only, you know, never touching any of the black keys on the piano. And I remembered that, and I thought, wow, I'd like to do it again. So when I went back to London, I started organizing house concerts, and my home was a tiny, tiny, oh gosh, is it even 700 square feet? And just meeting musicians, inviting them to come, and then by then I had met Robert, and I would ask him to arrange music for us, or I would look for music, and I would do all the cooking, get all the wine and refreshments, and invite all the neighbors so they wouldn't complain.
There you go. That's
the that's courage. One part of the success.
We're talking to Robert Becker and Koo. They'll be at check out their website. It's pianoguitar.com/USA. And I do want to talk a little bit about the River Oaks. If you're not listening in Houston, or you just, you know, kind of fell and had a concussion or something, is fairly affluent, you know, area of town, and so there's a issue about access to the music and education and so on. So there's always a kind of openness and a free-spiritedness and a kind of, well, you know, people just living their lives and that kind of thing that's involved with this, don't you think? And I just wonder, like, you know, how open can you actually be? I mean, it definitely as musicians, you want to bring people, you know, into, you know, your music.
What do you mean in terms of letting people know where it is,
or people's tastes, people figuring where they belong in society? You know,
well,
like what's the story?
No, I feel like with if you consider a product that we're doing, I feel like when we have concerts, it surprises people. They consider classical music like very like formal, mm-hmm. and then when we do a concert, it's actually very lively and very inspiring.
Oh yeah, we had people say, you know, I don't like classical music, but I really liked your music. That's funny because ours is classical music.
Yeah, I think, and once you become sort of connected to it, the, you know, sort of the work you're doing is to expose people to something that they divisions that aren't real.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we purposefully, from our home in Utrecht, open our home. We commit to twice a year producing house concerts. We invite other musicians to play. And each time we try to get people who have never been to our home before to experience it.
Well, I appreciate your going there. When you talk about something like class division, it's not always that fun. But, you know, thank you very much for sort of hanging with that topic.
It's
I don't think anybody's... aslant with such conversation, but we're going to take traffic, weather, and come back in just a minute.
This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 6:46. Here is a quick look at traffic and weather. The accidents that I mentioned earlier have been cleared, so I'll just tell you where the slowest traffic is right now. And there's slow traffic on 59 southbound from Quitman to 45, and on 45 headed northbound, that is inbound on the Gulf Freeway from Monroe to Broadway. Very slow traffic, 23 miles per hour. And one more area of very slow traffic is on I-10 eastbound between Highway 6 and Eldridge. The current temperature is 69 degrees. And today, this morning, skies are mostly cloudy. Humidity is still 91%. And the high today will be 79 and the low 61 degrees. The air quality forecast is in the good range. After Living Art, please stay tuned for BBC News, followed by Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. And now back to Living Art with Michael Woodson.
Songwriters and the tradition of cocooning or house music. Anne?
Yes, I've been to a few singer-songwriter house concerts in the Netherlands and also here in Houston. And I noticed that everybody was very relaxed. And the singer-songwriter would build a connection to the audience by talking about his travels, his or her travels, adventures, and what inspired him to write the song. And I'm thinking perhaps in the days of Mozart, Beethoven, the composers also talked about what they did and then performed their works. So equivalent of the singer-songwriters today. And perhaps the audience was also relaxed. However, I have been to house concerts where it really feels formal. And just as I've been to some house concerts of classical music where it doesn't. So I've been trying to figure out, well, how can we get people to feel relaxed in house concerts where classical music is performed? And some of the clues are, well, what do the singer-songwriters do? They connect with the audience. They talk about their music.
Theater in the round.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, I think about my conservatory training, we don't talk about building a rapport with the audience. We don't talk about audience engagement. You know, there's so little time in those 4 years, and in Robert's case, 7 years, to learn your craft. You know, you want to spend as much time as possible perfecting your technique and your interpretation. So when you graduate, you know, you don't know how to connect with the audience. You just want to play and leave, because if you talk, that often interrupts the flow, your concentration. So we're trying to make a difference by saying, well, it is very, very important. We talk to our audience. We make them laugh. We make them feel comfortable. You know, we don't treat them like, you don't know anything about this, I'm the expert. No way. Yeah.
That's the issue of the new technologies again. I have the idea that, you know, the radio is old school, old world, where we're talking at a group of people that, you know, maybe however, you know, could be the number that would fill up the Toyota Center or something like that. You know, you don't know how many you're talking to, but here, and it's sort of a hyper reality. I've been on a website, a blog, which is discussing such things as this. You know, the modern versus, you know, the postmodern, that kind of thing, and maybe the idea of social networking is so new that my brain is locked against it or something. This idea of talking to the concert hall.
Well, we blog about our concerts. We try to capture what happened or what will happen and go in depth about it. For example, I'm planning to write a blog about this piano that I played on last Saturday, which was formerly owned by the late Doris Duke, and it's beautiful. Well, I don't get to talk about that when, you know, at a concert, but yeah, there's room for it later.
Inside, yeah. And of course, you want a lot of people to hear, and you don't want to exclude concert halls, right? And yet there's something about, I think, the new generation, and I think their anxiety is maybe misplaced or something, but well, what's the problem? You know, with you know, what's the conflict? We're doing Facebook, so the revolution of in technology is sort of happening before our eyes, and still I feel these sort of tensions. Does that make sense? Between, you know, the idea of intimacy. Robert Abrams has got to feel a little bit of tension, right? With opening his house to
Jeff Abrams.
Jeff,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I know he only uses email. He doesn't keep a blog or has a website or anything. Mm. And I asked him, well, how would you feel if I put your address on my website or mention it on radio? And he's very open about that. He's just fine with that.
It took him 15 years to build his crowd, and I think he knows that people don't just show up. In general, if you invite people, you have to invite them again, remind them, and then sometimes they come.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Jeff Abrams doesn't have the anxiety that I would have, apparently, if I were to open my living room to the general public.
Mm. Well, as I mentioned, tonight I'm going to play at a house concert, and the lady organizing it, Grace, is going to be her very first time, and I'm sure she has a lot of anxiety, because the first time is always scary.
Right. So, yeah. And she's limited that access. Well, I'm the type.
Yes.
The New Yorker had a cartoon where a fat old guy was sitting on the couch, just kind of looking at the wall, and the caption was, "Just waiting for Facebook to go away." That's sort of where I am. I'm sorry about that, audience. And now I'm going to give the microphone to Robert, who's got the guitar in his hand, and also he's got a very specific thing going on. So I'm going to bow out and just let you take over the show at this point, and you're going to go from your guitar to a recording that you have organized with Laura to play to in the show.
Yeah, I guess because the piece I'm playing is like a bit too long, I'm afraid. So maybe we just like get it taken over, or somebody tells me to fade away.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play the Ultimo Tremolo by Berlioz, which is it has a different title. It's called Ultimo Tremolo because it was one of his last pieces.
Right. You have 3 minutes, so
3 minutes. Mm-hmm. I can try to beef up the tempo, but I think we just like have to fade it away.
Yeah, take it away. Beef it up. Stopping by today and sharing your art. That was incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was like, wow.
Thanks a lot.
This Sunday free. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful to be here, actually.
Last words?
Well, you've been a great host to us. It's really been an experience being on radio today.
Time flies on the radio, yeah. Doesn't it?
It does, yes.
I just want to mention Robert's going to appear in the fundraiser tomorrow evening at the Artery. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. It's basically Jeff Abrams has invited his people. He calls it the Elsewhere concert because it's not held in his house. Yeah, to help out the Artery.
Thank you. Yeah, that's at Jackson and Prospect.
Yeah.
So go out to see that tomorrow night. And this is Living Art, trying to make the personal art. Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend.
With the media's preoccupation with Tea Party politicking, and with the full force of raw corporate power suffocating our democracy, you probably haven't heard that many beacons of progressive hope are shining brightly from America's grassroots. These efforts show that well-organized alley cats can defeat the big money of the fat cats. Check out New Jersey, where the state AFL-CIO is not merely getting its rank-and-file members to support good candidates, but to become candidates. For the past dozen years, Jersey's Federation of Working Families has been recruiting, training, supporting, and electing its own members to state and local offices. In a state where campaigns routinely cost millions of dollars, the AFL-CIO spends a modest $250,000 a year to run a political boot camp that schools ordinary folks to be successful candidates. More than 160 of New Jersey's current office holders, including the state Senate president, are union members elected through this grassroots program. They learn the how-tos of speaking, media outreach, fundraising, and other basic democratic skills, all focused not merely on winning, but on enacting public policies to advance the middle class. The AFL-CIO president says, "We started with zoning boards, school boards, councils, then mayor, freeholder, and then senators and assemblymen. We take our members and apprentice them in the field of politics, just as we apprentice them in their own crafts," he says. The result is that labor no longer is a hapless outside group trying to persuade corporate-backed office holders to do the right thing for workaday people, but is now an inside player with real power to help set the state's policy agenda. This is Jim Hightower saying, why not do this in your state? For information, go to njaflcio.org and click on COPE. Today's commentary.